Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, and welcome back to AI Unravel. This is the show created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer up in Canada and also a passionate soccer dad. And hey, if you enjoy what we do here, digging into AI, please take a second, hit that like and subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. It honestly helped us out a ton. Okay, so today our mission really is to cut through all that noise, you know, the daily flood of AI news. We basically sifted through a whole bunch of updates and reports from July 31st, 2025. The goal is to give you a shortcut, a clear view of the really impactful stuff happening right now. We want to pull out those surprising facts, the key insights, so you get a real handle on what's shaping the AI landscape. We'll be covering quite a bit, things like AI watching our planet, the huge money pouring into AI, the future of personal intelligence, maybe even super intelligence, and also that geopolitical dance around AI hardware. It's going to be a packed dive. Let's jump in. Okay, first up, this is pretty amazing. Google DeepMind has this thing called Alpha Earth Foundations, and they're calling it a virtual satellite, a virtual one.
That sounds very sci-fi. Can you kind of unpack that for us? What does this AI model actually do? How is it different from, you know, just a regular satellite?
Yeah, that virtual satellite term, it definitely catches your attention, doesn't it? Yep. And it really points to a big shift. See, Alpha Earth isn't about launching new metal into space, not at all. It's about changing how we actually see the planet. It takes just enormous amounts of data, petabytes, from existing sources. We're talking optical images, radar, 3D laser mapping, all that stuff.
Right, the stuff that's already out there.
Exactly. And it fuses it all together into what they call unified embeddings. Think of it like stitching together a seamless digital skin of the Earth. But the really cool part, this sort of game changer, is this space-time precision architecture. It's apparently the first model that can handle continuous time. So you can ask it for a map for any specific date.
Any day, like go back in time.
Yeah, or pinpoint a specific day now. And maybe even more useful, it can intelligently fill in the gaps, you know, like when clouds block the view.
Oh, that's huge. That's always a problem.
Right, so you get a complete picture, where before you just had missing data. So yeah, the satellites gather the raw stuff, but Alpha Earth is like the smart interpreter making sense of it all.
That makes a lot of sense, because we've had satellite data for ages, but like you said, knitting it together, getting real insights,
yeah,
that's been the challenge. So what does this actually mean for, say, you or me, or maybe for scientists or city planners? Does it just speed things up, or does it let us see things we just couldn't before?
Oh, it's definitely the second one. It enables entirely new insights. AI, like Alpha Earth, it bridges that gap between raw data and actionable understanding. It turns all those scattered feeds into unified maps, and suddenly you can spot patterns, track changes with a speed and detail that just wasn't possible.
Like what kind of things?
Well, think about tracking deforestation almost as it happens, or seeing subtle shifts in ecosystems. It could massively improve climate models, make infrastructure planning way more precise, all globally, in near real time. Google's already shared it with like 50 organizations for testing, and they're making the data set available through Earth Engine for researchers. And the feedback seems to be that it's just way more accurate, faster, and more efficient than older systems. It's a big leap towards like a dynamic planetary dashboard.
A dynamic planetary dashboard. I like that. Okay, so from looking at the planet, let's zoom into the money. The sheer financial power behind AI. Microsoft just hit a $4 trillion market cap. Mm-hmm. They're only the second company ever to do that. It's more than just a number, right?
Absolutely. $4 trillion. It's a staggering figure. And it signals something really fundamental about how the market sees AI's value right now. Microsoft got there because of strong earnings, sure. But critically, it's about the huge investor confidence in their AI strategy, especially with the Azure cloud platform.
Right. Azure's been a powerhouse.
Totally. They reported, what, $76.7 billion in revenue for the quarter?
Yeah.
And importantly, they actually broke out Azure's numbers for the first time. It's pulling in $75 billion a year now. Just providing that clarity, that transparency, gave investors a big confidence boost.
So it's really about AI being baked into the core business infrastructure, not just flashy consumer apps. With that kind of valuation, where is the real, like, foundational shift happening in the AI economy, and what are they doing next?
Exactly right. While we often talk about chatbots or image generators, Microsoft's value shows the real economic engine is AI integrated into the cloud, into enterprise systems. It's becoming essential plumbing. This milestone really cements them as maybe the key player. And they're doubling down. They announced plans to spend a record $30 billion just this quarter on AI infrastructure.
$30 billion. In one quarter.
Yep. Primarily data centers and GPUs, those graphics chips you need for serious AI work, building up capacity like crazy. It's a massive bet that enterprise AI adoption is just going to keep exploding.
That kind of investment is hard to even grasp. And speaking of building, if you're listening, thinking about building your own future in AI, maybe getting certified, well, these deep dives are supported by Etienne Newman, the creator of AI Unraveled. And Etienne has put together some fantastic resources. We're talking AI certification prep ebooks and audiobooks. They're designed to help you get certified in key areas and really boost your career. He covers things like the Azure AI Engineer Associate, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Cert, AWS Certified AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, and the Google Machine Learning Certification too. Really useful stuff. You can find them all over at djmgatetech.com or look on Shopify or Google Playbooks. As always, we'll put the links right in the show notes for you. Definitely check those out if you're serious about leveling up. Okay, now, let's shift from corporate giants to something way more personal. Mark Zuckerberg, he made some waves during Meta's recent earnings call. He basically said that if you don't have AI-powered smart glasses in the future, you'll be at a, quote, significant cognitive disadvantage. That's a pretty bold claim. What's the thinking there? How does he see these glasses working?
It is bold, yeah. Zuckerberg's argument is that glasses are just the perfect device for an AI assistant. Why? Because, as he put it, they can see what you see and hear what you hear.
Constant context.
Exactly. The AI always knows your situation, what you're looking at, who you're talking to, so it can offer really relevant help right then and there. Think, like instant language translation whispered in your ear, or info about a building you're looking at. And he sees adding displays, maybe small ones, or even those fancy holographic fields like in their experimental Orion AR glasses as the next step. That's where the cognitive disadvantage idea really comes in. It's about augmenting your perception and knowledge constantly.
Okay, but he went further, didn't he? He declared, we're entering the era of personal superintelligence. Mentioned AI is starting to improve themselves. The convenience sounds cool, but constantly outsourcing our perception or immediate thoughts to an AI. Are there downsides we need to think about? And what's Meta actually spending to make this happen?
That's the $1 million, or rather $1 billion question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yes, the resources Meta is throwing at this are just astronomical. Get this. They invested $14.3 billion in Scale AI, basically to hire its CEO, Alexander Wang, as their chief AI officer.
$14 billion for one person.
What? For the company and him, effectively. And they're reportedly offering hundreds of millions in compensation to lure top AI researchers away from OpenAI, Google, Apple. They've already snagged like 7 from OpenAI, a couple from DeepMind for their new Meta superintelligence labs.
No.
And to power all this, they've jacked up their capital expenditure forecast to around $70 billion, mostly for AI infrastructure.
$70 billion.
Yeah. Now, what makes Zuck's vision maybe a bit different is his focus. Rivals often talk about automating work, right? Meta wants AI to help you, quote, achieve your goals, create what you want, be a better friend. Delivered through personal devices like glasses, it's framed as empowerment. But yeah, it is incredibly expensive, as he admitted. Sam Altman even claimed Meta was offering his people $100 million signing bonuses.
Just incredible sums.
It really is. Zuckerberg sees this as a key moment, deciding if superintelligence becomes a tool mainly for us, for humans, or mainly for replacing jobs. The ethical side you mentioned, that's central to this whole discussion.
Definitely something to watch. Okay, let's pivot again, this time to geopolitics and hardware. Things got a bit tense with NVIDIA and China recently.
Yeah, a bit of drama there.
Hmm.
China's cyber regulator actually summoned NVIDIA executives. This was over alleged backdoor vulnerabilities they claimed were in NVIDIA's H20 chips.
The H20. Weren't those the ones designed specifically for the Chinese market after U.S. export rules changed?
Exactly. The timing was, let's say, pointed. It happened literally the day after the U.S. lifted export restrictions on those specific chips. Beijing claimed these chips had hidden location tracking and could be remotely shut down. They attributed these claims to unnamed U.S. AI experts, which is interesting.
Hmm. So what did China demand?
An explanation, documentation. Basically, prove these backdoors don't exist. It really just throws a spotlight on the growing friction in the global AI hardware supply chain. China is clearly wary, scrutinizing U.S. tech very closely for security risks. It's tangled up in all the broader trade and tech conflicts.
So real tension there. But shipments are still happening.
Yeah, interestingly, despite the accusations and the summons, reports indicate the U.S. is still allowing some H20 shipments to proceed. So it's a very complex, delicate situation, a real balancing act.
Okay, shifting from conflict to collaboration,
There's
a positive development from the White House. Tech giants working together on health data.
Yes, this looks really promising. Companies like Apple, Amazon, and others are part of this voluntary initiative. The main goal is to make patient health data interoperable. Basically, unlock your medical records from all the different closed systems they live in now.
Right, so you can actually see everything in one place.
Exactly. Bring your test results, records, everything into a single trusted app that you control. And beyond just access, they plan to use AI to create personalized health coaches. Imagine an AI helping you manage diabetes based on your actual complete health data.
That could be incredibly helpful. Is there a timeline?
They're aiming to show concrete results from this data sharing effort by the first quarter of 2026, so relatively soon. It could genuinely change how we manage our own health.
Fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, totally different field now. Entertainment.
Fable
launched something called Showrunner, billed as the Netflix of AI. Amazon's backing it.
Yeah, Showrunner's pretty wild. It lets users generate personalized, playable, animated TV episodes just using text prompts.
Generate whole episodes.
Yep, you can guide the story, create new episodes set in existing fictional worlds, or even apparently upload an image of yourself and become a character in the show. Fable talks about making animation remixable, multiplayer, personalized, and interactive.
How does it work, business-wise?
It starts free, but they plan to sell generation credits later, and they've talked about revenue sharing. So if someone remixes your creation, you might get a cut. You might remember they got attention last year for making those unauthorized South Park episodes using early versions of this tech.
Ah, right. That rings a bell.
Ah.
So this is launching now. Seems like a tricky time for AI in Hollywood.
Definitely at a prickly time, as one report put it. Lots of debate about AI, IP, and creative jobs. But Showrunner could be the first big move towards truly interactive, personalized entertainment. If it catches on, the big studios and IP holders have a choice, don't they? Fight this wave of user-generated remixes or figure out how to embrace it, maybe even monetize it. It really challenges the old model.
Yeah, that's a fundamental shift, potentially.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a quick roundup. The AI Daily Pulse from July 31st had even more happening. Just rapid fire. What else caught your eye?
Okay, quick hits. Anthropic reportedly lining up $5 billion in new funding at a massive $170 billion valuation. That's nearly triple what it was just in March. OpenAI announced Stargate Norway, its first big data center project in Europe, partnering with Aker and Nenscale. YouTube's using new AI tools to estimate user ages based on viewing habits, trying to improve child safety. A company called Neo AI launched NEO, an agentic machine learning engineer, basically a system of AIs working together, claiming it set new records on some ML benchmarks.
Agentic, okay.
Amazon is reportedly paying the New York Times $20-25 million a year to license its content for training AI models. And finally, an AP study found the top use for AI right now is just searching for info, but younger adults are also using it a lot for brainstorming.
Just incredible breadth. See,
yeah.
It never stops. And if you want to get hands-on with this stuff, not just hear about it, I want to mention Etienne Newman's AI Unravel Builders Toolkit again. This isn't just theory. It's a collection of practical AI tutorial PDFs, really solid AI and machine learning certification guides, plus AI tutorials in audio and video formats. It's all designed to get you started building with AI, for real. Links for the toolkit are in the show notes. And one more thing, a special announcement, really. Are you an AI innovator?
Yeah.
A tech leader? If you're looking to boost your authority, reach a really engaged audience of AI pros, researchers, decision makers, consider becoming a sponsored guest right here on AI Unraveled. It's a great chance to share your latest work, your insights, your vision for AI's future in a dedicated interview. You can learn more about this thought leadership partnership, see how it benefits your brand, and apply over at dgmgats.com at PE Hill. AAATAA. Unraveled.
That link is also in the show notes.
Whew. Okay, what a ride today. We went from virtual satellites mapping the Earth.
All the way to Microsoft's $4 trillion valuation.
Zuckerberg's vision of AI glasses giving cognitive advantages.
And those geopolitical chip tensions.
Plus AI and health, and even creating custom cartoons. The pace is just relentless, isn't it? And the impact touches almost everything. So thinking about all that, what really stood out to you today? What are you most excited about or maybe even concerned about with where AI is heading?
It's a great question. We've seen today how AI is sort of weaving itself into the background, becoming this invisible layer, you know, from the virtual satellites quietly watching to the idea of smart glasses constantly offering that cognitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? As AI becomes this ever-present, context-aware helper, how much of our own thinking, our own cognition, are we actually comfortable outsourcing? And what are the trade-offs we might not even see yet for having that constant, effortless assistance? Something to think about as that line between us and AI keeps getting blurrier.
That is definitely something that you want. A really important thought as we wrap up. And one last time, for you AI innovators and leaders listening, boost your authority, share your vision as a sponsored guest on AI Unraveled. It's a unique platform to connect with AI professionals and decision makers who need to hear what you're doing. Find out more about the Thought Leadership Partnership and apply at djmgatetech.com for Mayo and Unraveled. Details are waiting for you in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Please remember to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman. And don't forget Etienne's resources, the AI certification ebooks and audiobooks, and that excellent AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit. Find it all at djmgatetech.com, Shopify, or Google Playbooks. Links are in the show notes. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.